I could do with some cheering up, so it's off to Bradford next to kick off a brand new series of Just a Minute, hurrah! And that's after a quick trip down the slope.
Skis cutting through snow at breathtaking speed. Snowboards spinning in ways never seen before. Skeleton sleds pushing the limits. Making history, breaking records, and taking home gold. Trails will blaze. The Winter Olympics starts Friday, live across the BBC.
Now on Radio 4, 6:30 comedy and a brand new series of Just a Minute. And this week they've returned to the city of Bradford 24 years after they last recorded there, way back in 2002.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy it is to welcome you to Just a Minute. And this week, excitingly, we are in Bradford, not only the 2025 UK City of Culture, but also the only city to have claimed the title of Britain's curry capital for 6 consecutive years in a row. Consistency is key, lads, as is, of course, a very banging gravy. Now, let's introduce you to the 4 marvellous, talented and delightful people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Lucy Porter, Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons and Chris Cantrell. Please give them a proper Yorkshire welcome and whoop and cheer for all 4 of them. I'm going to ask them all to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, and we'll see how that goes. And Lucy, we're going to start with you, please. And the subject on the card is the best kind of sundae. What can you tell us in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on the best kind of sundae, starting now?
The best kind of sundae for me starts with a luxurious lie-in, and then I go to my church, which is what I call Marks and Spencer, because there's a lot of old people there and they sometimes give you free wine. I will then go and buy my Sunday papers. I normally get green Rizzlers, which see me through to tea time. I enjoy a pub on a Sunday. I turn up, I have a roast with lashings of gravy and potatoes and vegetables, maybe a couple of pints of ale and a selection of crumbles. Then I start to think about what I want for lunch, because Sunday to me is about eating, drinking and making sweet, sweet love.
Oh, I mean, so sweet, Paul.
It was too sweet.
It was too sweet.
It was sweet, sweet love.
If you hadn't deviated to make sweet, sweet love, you would have possibly got the minute you spoke for 49 seconds. It was beautiful. Paul, that was a successful challenge. You get the subject with 11 seconds remaining, which is the best kind of sundae, starting now.
There's a Hancock's Half Hour made in the 1950s, which describes a typical Sunday afternoon in that decade. And it was a rather boring time for people. Cinemas were closed, television didn't start.
Well, I'm Paul, speaking as the whistle went, gets the point, and also the next subject, as we are with you now, and it's fight or flight. 60 seconds, starting now.
Fight or flight? Yes, it all depends on who your opponent is. If you're fighting an ostrich, for example, they are particularly vicious birds, but they can't fly. So flight might well be the thing to do with ostriches if they are coming towards you. Now, I believe that fight or flight is one of those things where you can think, OK, if I stand and fight, I might be a hero, but I might be smashed all over the place, whereas if I fly...
Lucy?
Well, I mean, I might be... this and I might be that.
Yeah.
It was a couple of might be's.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So a correct challenge from Lucy means you get the subject, Lucy, fight or flight, with 36 seconds remaining on the clock, starting now.
Faced with an ostrich, I would neither fight nor flee. I would simply marvel at its plumage. I have a third option, which is freeze. I, in a stressful situation, will just stand still.
Paul. Well, technically that's the fourth option, because you've mentioned fight or flight, and then admire plumage, and then freeze within the fourth.
You're right, it doesn't alliterate, does it?
No.
Listen, I enjoyed it, Paul, and it's a technicality I'll give you a point for, but I'm going to let Lucy carry on with the subject.
Absolutely.
Because it's not strictly within the rules of Just a Minute. Your time, 21 seconds on the clock, starts now.
When challenged, I tend to remain where I am and do a little wee. If...
I wish I hadn't challenged me.
I'm
regretting that.
I'm sort of interested in what the ostrich is doing now, whether that's going to fight or flight, because it's just seen legendary comic Lucy Porter just bend down and have a wee after saying, I love your plumage. Right. Listen, 15 seconds, Lucy. It stays with you. I would ask you to just... The BBC is already under enough threat as it is. Let's keep it on the right side, girl, all right? 15 seconds starting now.
Fight or flight is an eternal question. I like to fly with Ryanair so that I get both. Because in the course of one journey, you can travel the air whilst...
Well then, Lucy, you're speaking as the whistle went means you get the point. And Chris, we are with you next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it, my little sausage. Your subject is the best curry in Bradford. Contentious. Yeah, or at the crowd of...
At least they're going to run me out of town.
Best curry in Bradford. Chris, your time starts now.
Well, the best curry in Bradford, as we all know, is a hugely contentious issue. We do have... the best. You know, it's the one thing that we have over Leeds, you know, because the people from Leeds are back.
I mean, if it wasn't enough to mention Leeds, Zoe.
I know.
To do
I was
twice.
Getting to the point of saying that people from Leeds are big heads who think they're someone that they're not. So keen to get that across.
Well, so keen he said it twice.
Yes.
I'm going to get this one back.
Yeah, come on. Get into it, Chris. Come on. Hands on buzzer. Zoe, correct challenge. That was a repetition. 42 seconds. To remind you, the subject is the best curry in Bradford, starting now.
The best curry in Bradford is one that I enjoyed about 15 years ago, and if I cast my mind back, I can still taste it somewhere lurking in the regions of my mouth, because it was a vindaloo that was particularly warm. And the waiter said to me, are you sure you want that particular form of curry? And I said, yes, bring it on. And as they phoned the fire brigade 10 minutes later, I thought perhaps I have overstepped the mark somewhat with this highly piquant dish in front of me.
Oh.
Chris.
I thought it piquant. I was like, that's not a word. And then I was. It is, isn't it?
It is a word.
It is a word. Could I have it? Could I please have it? How does it work?
Listen, Chris, the game's only begun. You can't go to begging immediately. That's something you build towards.
I think you'll find I pecan.
As the game goes on, it may well be that if people continue to use. You know, French words, you could say it was a deviation from the English language. I'd call you a xenophobe but not give you any points, but you could maybe give that challenge. It's too soon for the benefit of the doubt, Chris. There was no correct challenge according to the rules of Just a Minute. Zoe keeps the subject. 13 seconds remaining, starting now.
I like to douse myself in a massive flowery naan and then run around the restaurant saying, who put cardamom in this? I don't like that particular seed. Eating that...
Lucy.
Well, particular... I mean, that yes. is very picky, but she had a particular dish.
She did have a particular dish.
I did have a particular dish.
A particular seed.
I had a particular seed.
Ooh.
And if I'm very, very honest, I was just about to say particular again, so it's going to be... I'm really glad you buzzed in when you did.
So, in many ways, it was psychic as well as retrospective.
Absolutely. Telepathic in
That's
its skills.
Incredible challenge, Lucy. You then get the subject with 3 seconds remaining.
Oh.
The best curry in Bradford, starting now.
Not in Leeds would I ever eat.
Zoe, something for you. It is singing in the shower. We've all done it. You've got 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on singing in the shower, and your time starts now.
Singing in the shower is one of my greatest joys and also that of my neighbours, because I've got quite a pair of lungs on me and can really bash out a belter. As the water cascades down my rather hirsute shoulders, I like to perhaps dip into my repertoire of numbers. Queen is a particular band that I often go to, belting out a rendition of...
scared of them.
Oh. Sadly, that song was never a hit. I think sort of a hesitation, really.
Yes, I think you thought you'd said belting, but you hadn't. You said belter and then belting.
Belting, yes, yeah. And then I sort of, yes.
It was very, very evocative.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it hugely. Paul, you get the subject. 35 seconds remaining on Singing in the Shower, starting now.
I much prefer singing in the shower rather than singing in the bath, because when you're in the bath... I decided I was going to say bath because I thought I can't think of another word for bath, so I'll just say it.
Yes, tub, I guess.
Tub.
But that was hard. Yeah, Zoe, was. You challenged.
Yeah, there were two baths.
Yeah, there were two baths.
It's more than I've had in my whole life.
Yes. Your back's so hairy that you don't really want to be...
No, exactly. I can't get in the bath. It'd be like watching one of those sea otters. I'll just bob about, cracking oysters off my chest.
Yeah. Well, there's an image for you. Right, hairy shoulders notwithstanding, let's move on. You've got 29 seconds, Zoe, to further detail a bathing situation. Singing in the shower, starting now.
I like to fling open the shower curtains and give a really good show to whoever is in the bathroom area. I'll pick up my loofah, using it as a microphone.
Chris, you buzzed.
Yeah, I think that could have been hesitation.
Yes, it absolutely was. So what can you tell us about singing in the shower in 18 seconds, Chris, starting now?
I can tell you about singing in the shower. My neighbours are not a fan of it, but that's because they don't truly understand the majesty of the male voice at this higher register, belting out songs such as Chappelle Rowan, Pink Pony...
Paul.
Well, it was a bit of a knee-jerk buzz in the mouth, but it was a big
There was an but with 1 second remaining, I'm going to give... I'm going to give Chris the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you.
Can I just say, as an audience, you're capable of rapid mood swings.
No. It's almost like a live menopause, this room. Very volatile. With 1 second remaining, Chris, singing in the shower, starting now.
Singing in the shower!
Right, Chris was speaking as the whistle went, means he gets the point. And at the end of that round, I can feel this crowd are itching for one thing and one thing only. And that's further description of Zoe's hairy shoulders. Well, in the absence of that detail, I can give you the scores, which are as follows at the end of the first round. We've got Chris and Zoe in third place. We have got Lucy in second, and 1 point ahead, we've got Paul Merton in the top spots. Let's counter into round two. And Lucy, back with you again. And the subject is The Railway Children. I believe the original 1970 film was filmed in and around West Yorkshire. But of course, Lucy, you can take the subject wherever you see fit. Can you speak on it without hesitating, repeating or deviating? The Railway Children, your 60 seconds starts now.
The Railway Children is a gorgeous film featuring the beautiful scenery of this part of the world. It's one of my absolute favourites, and it encouraged a generation of young girls and boys to want to be train drivers just in case Jenny Agutter waved her knickers at them. I rewatch The Railway Children whenever I can. These days it's the only steamy movie I ever get to see. There's nothing finer than...
Oh, cliffhanger! Zoe.
Well, there was a slight hesitation there.
It was.
It just gently ran out of steam.
It moved into the siding somewhat.
Yes.
Right. 29 seconds. It's all
That's
yours on the
long
railway,
time.
Children. It's quite a long time.
It is quite a long
but
time.
I think you can fit. I have faith in you.
I don't think I've ever watched The Railway.
It doesn't matter. That's the joy of this game. 29 seconds. There might just be some children you've seen by a railway.
Okay.
29 seconds, starting now.
The railway children I observed on the way here to Bradford in Yorkshire were quite the thing. Listening to their music without headphones, who knew that was a possibility on a long journey train ride? Oh, the joys we had as I listened to...
Again, one of Queen's lesser-known singers. repetition of umpta.
Yes, there was.
It was.
Oh, I was two umptas into that, and I went, oh no. Fallen into the classic umpta trap, haven't
yeah.
I?
Wrong kind of music for just a minute, that.
Isn't it?
Paul, correct challenge, 13 seconds on The Railway Children, starting now.
The Railway Children was directed by a first-time director in Lionel Jeffries, who, of course, was well-known as a character actor throughout the 1950s and 60s. He went on to make another movie called The Amazing Mr. Blunden, but The Railway Children is considered a master...
Well, I'm Paul speaking as the whistle went. You get the point. And the next subject, which is, oh, I love this, a chippy tea. Oh, hello. Oh, it's the stuff that dreams are made of.
Is it?
Yes. 60 seconds on a chippy tea starting now.
I remember a long time ago when I was in my 20s, I didn't have much money, that I would look forward to having a chippy tea, which basically was a Cornish pasty and chips and a cup of tea every Saturday evening. It was part of the ritual of where I lived at the time. Not much of a timetable. There was not a great...
Oh, Chris.
Repetition. Timetable.
It's one word, timetable.
Okay. No, I just, it's good to illustrate. Do you understand now this is how the game works? This is fun. Cool. If it's okay with you, Paul could continue.
Yeah. That's all right with me. Is it all right with you, Paul?
Yeah, I think that's the direction we were heading in.
Yeah. I think we're all good. I'm happy that we've had this time. It's nice. Oh. It's nice. All right, incorrect challenge. 44 seconds remaining on a chippy tea, Paul, starting now.
Sometimes if you drink tea out of a teacup, which is a hyphenated word, you'll find that a chip on the edge of it is something that puts you...
Oh, Lucy.
I think teacup is one word.
It is one word.
Yeah. It is.
It is one word, which would be a deviation from...
Grammar?
English, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll accept that challenge.
Yeah.
I'll accept it. Lucy, 38 seconds on a chippy tea, starting now.
A chippy tea often features a saveloy for me, which is a sausage of indistinct origin with a variety of flavours depending on where you get it. I enjoy a mushy pea, which is a green delicacy that Peter Mandelson thought apparently was guacamole. I love to have the bits at the end of the chips, the lovely, crispy, buttery deliciousness covered in grease. I can slap it on Zoe's hairy shoulders as an emollient...
Oh, Paul!
She got carried away by the image that she'd conjured up.
Yes, I did.
She was entranced by that. Had she not been so entranced, she would have just carried on speaking for another second, and that would have done it. Because you buzzed in with 1 second remaining,
oh,
Paul.
No.
It's a correct challenge, though. So, on a chippy tea, you got a second starting now.
I remember so well.
Well, I'm Paul speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And Zoe, you get the next subject, which is Heartbreak Hotel. Oh, without hesitating, repeating or deviating, what can you tell us about Heartbreak Hotel in 60 seconds, starting now?
For the delightful trip to Bradford that we have made, they have put us up at the Heartbreak Hotel, which is just round the corner from here. I think it's called the Heartbreak Hotel because I discovered that breakfast is served between 6:30 and a minute past that time. There is also a person behind the reception who doesn't look like they're really fully enjoying their job. The Heartbreak Hotel has several rooms. I'm in the smallest of those said spaces. The bed is up against four of the walls. So I can explore the...
It's funny because it's true. Chris, you challenged.
There was a hesitation around the Heartbreak Hotel area.
It's traumatic, trust me. Yes, so I'll give you that. That was a correct challenge. You've got 27 seconds remaining on Heartbreak Hotel, starting now.
OK, Heartbreak Hotel. It could be the song by that young whippersnapper, Elvis Presley. He lived in Graceland, which is a different place to here because this is Bradford, that I really like.
Zoe, you challenged.
Again, it was a gentle intervention for hesitation.
Zoe, you get the subject, Heartbreak Hotel. It's back with you with 11 seconds remaining on the clock, starting now.
apparently there is a swimming pool in the Heartbreak Hotel. It's in the basement. I haven't wandered down there yet because I've been informed that it's largely haunted. If I do see a spectre, I expect it'll be looking for its...
Well, I'm sorry, you were speaking as the whistle went. You get the point. So, let's have a look at scores. Chris is in fourth place, but remember, he's such a novice player and he's doing incredibly well. In third place, we've got Zoe. In second, we've got Lucy. And just 1 point ahead, Paul Merton. OK, round 3 awaits, and we start with you, Lucy. Your subject is Yorkshire legend Alan Bennett. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on Alan Bennett? Your time, Lucy, starts now.
Alan Bennett is one of the greatest dramatists of all time. His work includes The Magnus of King George III, which was the first time we thought the royal family might not be all that. The other things he has written include The Lady in the Van, about a woman who parked on his drive for some years. I can only apologise, it was much nicer than anywhere else I could afford to live in London. Alan Bennett's favourite thing for me is the Talking Heads monologues, featuring some of the finest performers this nation has produced. Thora Heard, Patricia Routledge, Julie Walters. There's one called The Cracker Under the Settee, which is poignant, beautiful and moving. There is... Oh. I was enjoying him so much.
Paul, you challenged.
It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, indeed. Lucy, you spoke for 54 seconds. Well done.
Well done.
6 seconds, Paul. You have the subject, Alan Bennett, starting now.
Of the four performers in Beyond the Fringe, Alan Bennett is the last one to survive. But what a great quartet they were.
Well done, Paul. Speaking as the whistle went gets the point. And Chris.
Yes.
One for you here. Hadrian's Wall.
I've got a good feeling about this one.
I've got a great feeling about this one. Okay. And it's certainly one of the best walls out there. It really is. It's in my top three walls of all time.
Totally.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear you smash this one. You've got 60 seconds on Hadrian's Wall. Not on it, literally. We haven't brought it here. You've got 60 seconds starting now.
Hadrian's Wall is a structure that was built by the Romans. Which one specifically? It's unclear. But I can tell you this as somebody that lives there. This structure was designed to keep out the Celtic hordes. And everybody since then has been walking it recreationally. And I live in a village that is halfway along Hadrian's Wall. Locally, we call it the Spirit Breaker because at our point in the middle of this walk is where people, basically southern people, do what they do when things get a bit hard. How did I do?
You did so well, mate. You did 34 seconds.
That's all right. That's an improvement. And how long were you meant to do?
Well, I'm going to refer you to the programme title, mate, which might give you a clue. For Zoe, who challenged?
There was a couple of people.
There were, Zoe. So you get the subject.
People's choice. It wasn't me, it was the people.
26 seconds on the clock, Zoe. You've got Hadrian's Wall and the time starts now.
I'm planning on walking Hadrian's Wall this coming summer because I have an extensive range of anoraks and sturdy shoes, probably something to do with my chosen lifestyle. I hope the weather will be clement for it because it is quite a long way to ramble. And obviously it's very exposed out there, which I hope I won't have to be. Hadrian's Wall...
Lucy.
I think she had a couple of hopes. I think she was hoping for clement weather and she was hoping for something else.
But surely your hairy back would protect you against even the most severe storms.
To a degree, but only if I've had it recently waxed.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yes, that would be a factor.
It's like a barber jacket then.
It's not a waterproof pelt.
No. Sadly not. Not as I've aged.
Yeah. It does, it loses lustre, doesn't it?
And I don't think Davina McCall has talked about this enough about when it comes to menopause.
I mean, she's touched the basics, you know, mood swings and
brain
fog.
We're not speaking about it as women supporting each other about our thinning shoulder hair. And I'm just glad that I've been able to do it here in Bradford. You're welcome.
Do you know what? If there's any space to be pelt positive, it's here.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing.
Pelt positive?
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Is that an old Ken Dodger? She had lovely hair all down her back. Not on her head, just on her back.
Correct challenge by Lucy. 5 seconds remaining on Hadrian's Wall, starting now.
Hadrian's Wall apparently used to be plastered and whitewashed in its original state.
Now, I'm afraid to say it's the final round. We've come to the final round.
It cannot be.
Thank you. It can be. It is, yeah. And Zoe, it's with you. And your subject is a couch potato. Can you speak for a minute without hesitating, repeating or deviating on the subject? A couch potato, starting now.
I've started to grow my own vegetables, and my prize tuber is a couch potato. Because of the dark, moist conditions between the cushions, they really come into their own. I've got a massive couch potato. A couch potato is, of course, somebody who doesn't like to move away from a couch, instead likes to just loiter in the dark, growing extra eyes.
Yes, Lucy.
There was dark. They were growing in the dark.
Yes, they were growing in the dark. It was dark. It was double dark.
When she started off with, I'm growing, I was like, oh, God, it's going to be the bloody shoulder hair again.
Yeah. I consider that more sprouting.
Who knew that would be the running theme of the show? it was a correct challenge. There was double dark and 36 seconds remaining to you, Lucy, on the subject of couch potato, starting now.
I am a couch potato, but my husband resists having the heating on, so I have to wear my coat, making me more of a jacket potato. There's nothing I endure more than having my slanket with my remote control and some egg stains about my person as I watch my favourite daytime television, including Loose Women and Homes Under the Hammer, because...
Mean it.
It was really... I mean, yeah, I don't do that. I just watch The Railway Children.
Zoe, you challenged.
Yes, just I think Lucy might need some help, or just call a friend, maybe, just to tell her about the egg stains, because that's been going on too long, if we're honest.
They just materialise on the slanket.
Yeah. There was a slight hesitation.
I didn't want to
there.
Challenge on slanket, but I don't know what it is. What is that?
It's a sleeved blanket.
Oh, is it?
Mm. Wonderful. So it's a correct challenge. 7 seconds remain on the subject of a couch potato, and your time starts now.
If I was a true couch potato, I would never leave the living room, just flicking between channels, eating crisps, which is a bit like sort of...
Hey. Zoe there, speaking as the whistle went. Wonderful stuff. Well, that's the end of that round, and indeed the end of the show. So let's tally up those scores. It was a tightly fought contest. Slightly trailing in fourth place, we've got Chris, who's very, very new to the game and played expertly today. Well done, you. In third position, Zoe. Narrowly in second position, we've got Lucy. And just nudging out ahead, tonight's winner, Paul Merton. And there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to our incredible players, Lucy Porter, Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons and Chris Cantrell. We are, of course, indebted to Ian Messiter and the wonderful Nicholas Parsons. And we also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so loudly in my left ear hole. The producer was Georgia Keating, and it was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkin, saying thanks so much for listening wherever you are. And please do join us again next time we play Just a Minute.
And Sue will be back at the same time next Monday here on Radio 4. And in tomorrow's 6:30 comedy, Chris McCausland puts his panellists into an audio-only world to see if they can decipher surreal soundscapes.
What am I using here?
Oh, laughing gas.
No, it's a highlighter pen. Alistair, who wouldn't you want to be stuck in a lift with?
I'm claustrophobic, Darren! I'm claustrophobic!
The person in that recording.
It's Gemma Collins.
Join Chris McCausland for You Heard It Here First. That's tomorrow night at 6:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds with Harriet Kemsley, Alistair Beckett King, Finn Taylor and Fatia El Ghori. After her passing last week, Front Row will be taking a retrospective look at Catherine O'Hara's great comedic work. That's here at 7:15 tonight. You're listening to BBC Radio 4.